This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, here we go on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Nice to have you aboard on a Saturday morning. Charlie's on a well-deserved vacation for the next 2 weeks, so we'll have an array of guests joining me to deliver you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned. Head pro of Carlton Woods Fazio and host of the Pro Show on YouTube, Jason Alexander, will join us momentarily and will stay with us through the entirety of the show. He's live from Tulsa, Oklahoma, getting a feel for this week's LIV golf event. So we'll get the latest from Cedar Ridge, and we'll get his feel on the current state of the game. Tim Schmidt, who's the editor of USA Today's Golf Week, will also join us for some inside coverage on the Byron Nelson. And listen, we have a ton to discuss today. Number one, PGA Tour makes its final stop in Dallas for the AT&T Byron Nelson before the second major championship of the year kicks off next week at Oak Hill in Rochester. World number two and Dallas native Scottie Scheffler has a chance to become world number one again this week with a win at Craig Ranch. We'll talk about his chances of doing so. I'll give you some weekend picks for the Byron Nelson. We'll also discuss pre-tournament picks that you'll need for the Wednesday Calcutta, the PGA Championship pools. We'll give you all that, everything that you need for the PGA Championship. That's number one. Number two, the PGA Tour University, which is the ranking system for college golf that provides a gateway to the PGA Tour, has made changes that will strengthen the runway from college golf to professional golf. You know, every other sport has a draft where if you performed well in college, you get drafted by a professional organization. The NFL obviously has a draft, NBA has a draft, MLB has a draft, and so does the NHL. Golf and tennis are different because it's an individual sport without team franchises. And in golf, up until a PGA Tour university was developed 3 years ago, did not reward the best collegiate golfers in the nation with PGA Tour status. That's changed. We'll bring you the latest on those details in today's show. And number three, of course, LIV Golf makes its sixth stop of their 2023 schedule in Tulsa at Cedar Ridge. And with that, we welcome in head pro of Carlton Woods Fazio and host of the Pro Show on YouTube, Jason Alexander. Jason, great to have you in the building today, bro.
Well, Doctor, it is always a big time to join the Golf Hour on Saturday morning. I got to ask, did that rain get out of there in Texas? Right now, Oklahoma, we're looking pretty good.
Yeah, it sure did. You know, I was at the Byron earlier this week. Of course, South Texas was getting a lot more rain than up north. I think the north only got it Wednesday and Thursday. But, yeah, all is good here. Beautiful Saturday morning. What's the latest from Tulsa?
Well, you know, Will, we're awfully excited to see the circus that is LIV Golf this afternoon. I was joking with the group that were with us, and hey, you don't have to worry about, good thing about LIV, we don't have to worry about when the leaders are teeing off. They're all pegging at the same time. So 12:15 guns central this afternoon. Brendan Gray's coming off a heat check, 61 yesterday. Little small stat, he's got the lowest score in LIV Golf history and the lowest score in U.S. Open history. How about that? So we'll see what Grace can do today with a slew of other good players up near the top of the leaderboard, Cam Smith, DJ, Jaquin Neiman. So we're going to have a good Saturday out here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, no doubt about it.
Yeah, great to see DJ up there last year. Now, he won the money list for LIV Golf last year. Obviously, everyone still loves DJ. Once again, this is Jason Alexander, host of the Pro Show on YouTube. Now, Jason, obviously a lot to discuss today, from the Byron Nelson to next week's PGA Championship to a little bit of college golf. But you're at Cedar Creek this week for LIV Tulsa. And first, I got to say, you know, you said Brandon Grace has the lowest score in LIV Golf history. Surprisingly enough, you're the first guest I've had on that's actually at the grounds of a LIV Golf event. And, you know, Jason, that's not on purpose. I've tried. You know, the LIV Golf media doesn't do media appearances anywhere else for obvious PR reasons. Mike McAllister is LIV Golf's lead reporter. He does a great job. He does a phenomenal job. He's on point. But you'll never see him do a guest spot on a show for the risk of saying something that would potentially make his bosses upset. But I digress. This is perfect, Jason, because you're not employed by LIV Golf. You can just give us an honest feel of the event.
I think some of us here in the media that, you know, we're covering golf, and LIV is, I just don't think it's going anywhere for just a bit. So let's cover the world of golf. We've got some great players that are playing on this tour. I was against it big time at the beginning as well. but I think it's here to stay, and I think it's our job. And I think over the landscape of the golf media, I think it's their job as well to cover the world of golf. And you know what? That's what we're going to do right here on the Golf Hour. How about that?
Yeah, no doubt. Exactly right. And listen, reviewing the last two seasons of LIV Golf, you know, last year, obviously, the inaugural season, you know, we could talk about ratings all day. You know, it's tough to make judgment on ratings in the first year of a startup sports league, especially in golf. You know, you were seeing under 40,000, which I've said multiple times on the show, you know, in the final rounds of last year's events. But, Jason, I thought the really good part of last year was to see Dustin Johnson win about six events, win the season-ending money list, and actually have one of their stars rise to the top of that league. Would you agree with that?
100%, and I've kind of said this on a few of the shows that I've been on as well, Will. You need DJ, you need Cam Smith, you need Brooks Koepka, you need Patrick Reed. You need those guys up at the top every week. And if they are, I think you have some compelling storylines. But and I'm not trying to talk bad on anyone, but if you have Danny Lee and Charles Howell III and Peter Uihlein in first, second, third competing to win live events, no one's going to watch.
No one. And listen, Greg Norman says that, you know, he wants to appeal to a younger audience, and you know, you said it perfectly. You have to look at the winners this year, with the exception of Brooks Koepka in Orlando. You had, you know, Charles Howell win the season kickoff in Mayakoba. Jason,
Danny Lee and Taylor Gooch twice.
Yeah,
and so
that's not
moving any needles in the golf industry.
Yeah, and
golf
they paid Koepka, they paid Cam Smith, they paid Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau, Phil Mickelson. You know, they paid them a boatload of money, and they have a combined one win through five events this season. And Jason, I think Koepka's win in Orlando would have been talked about a lot more had he sealed the deal at Augusta. And I think a lot of people would forget he had the lead into the weekend. I mean, for him, if he would have gone back-to-back at LIV Orlando and then Augusta, that's some steam for LIV, no doubt.
I think there's two things. He went to Augusta, and he's got it. If he won in slacks, if he had slacks on in Orlando, both of those have more gravity to it. And talking to some people on the ground here, I just can't get over it, Will Doctor. They've got to put on pants,
man.
They've got to put on slacks.
Oh my God. I've said
this. They're not playing shirts versus skins in the NBA playoffs. It is a uniform of a professional golfer to have slacks on. And say you call us a traditionalist, but it's just they're losing weight to the tournaments when you make a 20-footer to win in tube socks and shorts. You just are.
Yeah, I always tune in. I see Poulter, you know, out there with the shorts on and you know, the socks up to his kneecaps. And, you know, I'm kind of going, what is this clown doing out there? But, you know, for the most part, as far as positives are concerned, Jason, love that DJ won the seasoning money list last year. I'm still a big fan of DJ. The guy's on tour, still a big fan of DJ. He's a class act. But, Jason, my second issue in year two of LIV Golf is, and you can speak for this because you have a show on YouTube, LIV basically changed their they went from YouTube to the CW network. For Greg Norman to sit up there and say he's trying to reach a younger audience and then change the distribution network from YouTube, which every person on earth is on, to the CW network, which is dead last in cable ratings, it has to be one of the worst decisions in sports history.
I think there's no doubt about it. YouTube had a better platform. I think we all know that. Is there something to do with a little bit of comfort to say, we're on cable TV? That's the only reason I believe they did it. But can this somehow rise the CW network? I'm friends with some of those guys. They've never had sports on that network ever. So what can we do in year three? Can the LIV Golf put a package together and have some better reporting, have some better big nets, player profiles? What can they do? Because right now, the mix for watching LIV Golf is at a zero. I mean, it's irrelevant. And I think we both know that.
Yeah, at least when LIV Golf was on YouTube, it was commercial free and very accessible on my cell phone and iPad, just like the pro show. When a new episode comes out, I can just click the – I mean, it's easy. It takes me 2 seconds to get this thing going. Now that LIV is on CW, you know, the opening round is streamed on the app, which no one's going to download, and the final two rounds on CW where, you know, they're on CW where I have to watch, you know, Superman and Lois commercials and Riverdale commercials. And
you can get Gilmore Girls, too, there, Will. You can get Gilmore Girls.
And Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. Hey, Nancy Drew, heck of a series, heck of a book. But, you know, I don't need the TV show. I don't need the commercials. I know the PXG commercials on Golf Channel drive us nuts, but I'll take the PXG commercials over these Nancy Drew and Riverdale sure. commercials all day long. Small part of it, I'm getting picky, but at the same time, I mean, it's just not a sports network, as you said.
And it's something they've got to dial in. I think you'll see, I hope, that the powers that be would lift golf, because look, you know, if it's going to be here to stay, let's make it the best it can be and at least make it watchable for a bigger audience. But right now, if you look at the leaderboard and how their flash is and the shotguns and the 54 holes, it's appealing to a younger audience. But let me tell you something, I'm the first one to say you need the whole audience in golf. You just can't have the younger demographic. That's not enough to give it substance. You need everyone. And right now, I think they've got to go, hey, what can we do to appeal to the traditionalist as well? We've got some stud players that I think if they're at the top of the leaderboard, like we mentioned, I think it'd be worth watching here and there. But they've got a long way to go still.
No doubt. No doubt. Jason, hold tight. We'll be right back with you on the other side. Hey, listeners, before we go to break, have you ever felt like the walls are closing in, that the obstacles growing your business are overwhelming? We all know running a business comes with pressure, remote workforces, HR compliance, keeping your top employees happy. There's no wonder you start to feel boxed in, but you don't have to do it alone. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30-plus years of experience to work helping you with your human resources, from hiring and training to HR admin and compliance, adding competitive benefit options for your employees, and you've expanded your HR capabilities. Don't let the obstacles keep you from realizing your full potential. Get the relief you need from an HR company that puts you and your employees on a path to success. Because with Insperity, nothing seems impossible. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is consistent rhythm and tempo in their golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or too quick, especially under pressure when you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or a late afternoon match against a buddy. And what Marius Filmatter, the founder of Swing Sound Golf and the inventor of the Sand Putt Lab, has figured out is that almost all bad golf shots are caused by bad tempo, because study results show that all good golfers share a common and consistent rhythm when they swing the club. Whether it's your driver, irons, or putting, good shots are a product of good tempo. The feature that I love about the Swing Sound app is, you know, it helps create your tempo. Most of these metronome apps play a rhythm that sounds like an alarm or a school bell, but Filmatter has worked with some of the best audio engineers in the world to create sounds that are comforting to your ear as you use the Swing Sound app to master the rhythm in your golf swing. Do yourself a favor and take control of your golf performance and establish your swing tempo by downloading the Swing Sound app, available for only $4.99 on the App Store or Google Play. Once again, that is the Swing Sound app.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the SportsMath Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Here we go, 15 past the hour here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 975 Houston and SportsMap Radio Network, brought to you by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Nice to have you with us on a Saturday morning. We're back here with head pro of Carlton Woods Fazio and host of the Pro Show, Jason Alexander. Last segment, we got a feel on the sixth live event of the year out in Tulsa from Jason, who's live from Cedar Ridge. In case you missed that, you can find that on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Jason, let's run through a few headlines from the PGA Tour before we get into our PGA Championship discussion as the, you know, the second major of the year kicks off next week in Rochester. But quick feel on this leaderboard at the Byron Nelson before we get rolling. Scottie Scheffler leads the way by one after back-to-back 64s. Ryan Palmer, another Texas native, right behind him, along with Mackenzie Hughes. Those two are in a tied for second at 13 under. I don't know if you've been able to watch a little bit of Byron coverage. We're going to get into it a little bit later on today. But what's your feel of this leaderboard after the first two rounds?
Scott, my feel is Scottie Scheffler is really, really good. I've seen Scheffler play better golf. He pops a pair of 64s at him, leading by one going into the weekend. And as Tiger used to say, I think Scottie's got his kind of B-minus game, Will. What do you think?
No, I completely agree, especially in that opening round 64. He left a lot of putts out there. I thought the greens at Craig Ranch in round one were looking a hair fuzzy because of the rain. But tee to green, I mean, you look at round one. Scotty, you know, as far as the strokes gained numbers are concerned, he picked up strokes in all statistical denominations. Same with round two. But I completely agree, this is not the best that we could see him play at. Will he turn up the jets over the weekend? I think so. But, you know, I think another thing I'm impressed with is, obviously we're going to talk about this, but going into the week, this was a very weak field. You know, I do a Tuesday picks podcast to start the weekend. You know, you're kind of looking down this list of the field, and you're going, you know, I'm not sure how good of a product this is going to be. And what do you know? I mean, Scottie Scheffler, Jason, with a win this week, he gets back to world number one going into the second major of the year. That's a headline in itself. And then you have guys like PGA Tour winner this year, Mackenzie Hughes, in the mix. You have Jason Day, who's itching to get back in the winner's circle. You have Adam Scott, Hideki Matsuyama. You know, for only four elite players in this field, we have a pretty good weekend ahead of us.
Absolutely, and it is a weak field, but we've got four of the studs that are up there in the mix. That's what you want. And I'm excited to see Jason Day, see if he can make a run. I think this is a big momentum weekend for Scottie Scheffler. After his weekend at Augusta, I've been getting back to world number one. I've never played on the PGA Tour, Will, but I guarantee you walk on property at Oak Hills as the best player in the world, number one, there's a little bit of an aura to that. And I think Scottie wants to have that ranking heading into Tuesday, Wednesday practice rounds going on the putting green. I think that'd be big.
Yeah, and Oak Hill, you know, a venue we're going to talk about next segment. You don't have to putt the best. You know, we're going to talk about some great ball strikers heading into there that have a great chance. But, I'm looking at guys like Cam Young, like Colin Morikawa. But you cannot sleep on Scottie Scheffler with the performance he's putting on and with the fact that he won't even have to putt his best out there up in Rochester.
Absolutely. And I think it's you can't even argue the fact that Tee to green, he hit it, optically hit it better than anybody in the field at Augusta. So it was just a weird – his whole moxie was off at, you know, down Magnolia Lane for whatever reason. So I'd expect a much different performance next week. I think he runs away. I think Scottie Scheffler might win by five or six. This could be a Players' Championship performance that we saw a month and a half ago here in Craig's Ranch this weekend. I really think he's going to fire another couple 64s at him.
Well said. That would be his third win of the year. Scheffler repeated in Phoenix. Won the Players by a long shot. So we'll see what happens this week. We'll get into picks a little later.
Will, real quick, yeah, go ahead. I'd love to see Ryan Palmer. Ryan's one of my buddies, but you just kind of have a feel that either today or tomorrow he's going to shoot maybe a 69. You just know it's coming. He's right there, but I don't think he's going to be able to run quite as fast as Scotty.
Yeah, I mean, tee to green, you know, Ryan Palmer is balling. 64 on Thursday, 65 yesterday. I think the big question for Palmer has always been, can he keep the putter hot through
right.
four rounds? And Jason, at this golf course, which we're going to get into, Craig Ranch, I mean, it's a birdie fest out there. I mean, you know, Sung Yul Ngo shoots 60 the first day. You know, I'm not a big fan of the birdie fest out there on the PGA Tour, but it's Dallas. It's a party up there. People are having a good time. The grandstand on 17, they've kind of tried to replicate 13 at Waste Management, just like Liv did last week in Australia. But there's a little grandstand around 17. It seems like a good field. They had a pretty good turnout the first two rounds. But we'll get into that a little bit more later on. Jason,
yep.
I want to get to some of these changes in the world of college golf. Number one, PGA Tour University made some incredible changes to the runway from college golf to professional golf. First, the number one college golfer at the end of the 2023 college season will have full status on the PGA Tour for the remainder of the 2023 PGA Tour season and will also receive full status for the entirety of the 2024 season. That's number one. Number two, players ranked 2 through 5 at the end of the college season will have no limits of starts as a non-member and will have no limit to the number of sponsored exemptions that he receives. And this is the best thing of all, Jason. I think you're really going to appreciate this. It won't matter what grade you're in. If you finish top five at the end of the college season, whether you're a freshman, sophomore, or junior, you can go to the PGA Tour and take advantage of those exemptions. Finally, golf is at the level of that transition between college and professional golf that all the other sports are on.
Will, you said it best. There's just never been a runway. It's gotten a little bit better over the last couple of years. Before that, non-existent. So now for the tour to step up, holy moly, can you imagine? And we both played college golf, Will. Can you imagine if you're at that level to have the opportunity to be, if you're one of the top five college golfers in the world, to go out on the PGA Tour and eliminate having to go to Q School and go play the Korn Ferry, web.com back then. Holy moly, this is huge. This is huge news. And well done, PGA Tour.
Well, I know, I'm sure you do as well. I know guys who were, you know, top 10 ranked amateurs coming out of school and did not even give professional golf a run because of the financial burden. It wasn't even possible.
Right.
And you know, not only, of course, is this going to be what the paper doesn't say is that this is not only a win for the PGA Tour as far as getting their younger talent out there, it's a win for the players. Because once a player is coming out of school and has these guaranteed starts on the PGA Tour, that's a huge attraction for a sponsor, Jason. And that means money in the pocket, and that means more longevity to a fuller career, a better safety nest to get you started out there. That's what a lot of these younger players need, a couple starts to get rolling, get acclimated. You know, we're seeing it right in front of us. You know, this week, Davis Thompson, the Georgia product, was the leader of the PGA Tour U rankings in 2021. He's a full-time member on the PGA Tour. Pearson Cootie, who was part of the Texas' 2022 National Championship team, you know, has already won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour and is playing this week at the Byron Nelson.
He's rolling, Will.
I'm sure you saw this. Pearson actually missed the cut this week, but his brother Parker, who was top 10 in PGA Tour U last year, actually made the cut, T33, rolling into the weekend, and that's his first made cut on the PGA Tour. I love those two guys, you know, strong as oxes. You know, these guys look like they belong on the 30-yard line of the football field, you know, Pearson and Parker Cootie. But,
and they're even better kids.
Yeah.
They're better human beings. They're wonderful players, but better kids. And that's what you want out of these guys coming out, a la Cole Hammer.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, Cole, big and sparity guy, and, you know, when you watch him come out of college, he did have an opportunity, but you got to pick and choose a little bit, Will. And for these guys to have unlimited start, that's humongous. And to take advantage of the sponsors' exemptions, you know, that, like I said, huge news, and I think it's a wonderful call, and it's going to give these guys every opportunity to hit the ground running and get their full-time PGA Tour card. Do you agree?
I agree, and this is exactly what this PGA Tour ecosystem was built for. It's been redesigned to, you know, to attract younger players, to reward the best players in college golf with immediate PGA Tour status, get them out there in the summer right after the season ends in May, and give fans and the kids a chance to get to know these younger players, which then generates a younger audience. I mean, not to put pressure on Liv. We talked about this last segment. Greg Norman thinks that an invitation-only circus is going to bring a younger audience to the table. How about taking the top five 18- to 23-year-old college golfers in the country year-to-year and giving them immediate opportunity on the PGA Tour? That's how you're going to grow the game. And, Jason, who's to say that he didn't try to do that, you know?
No doubt about it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's pinpoint accuracy right there from Will Doctor. Hot take. Couldn't agree more.
Jason, we'll be right back with you on the other side here, along with Tim Schmidt. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR, that makes a difference. Back after this with a PGA Championship preview and more on a couple of the other majors throughout this year with Tim Schmidt, editor of Golf Week.
Come on, Tim.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, before Jason and I get to the great Tim Schmidt A break from the golf to tell you about my friends over at Brookside Equipment. Tom and Adam Belimovich are the great people who own 9 Houston locations, and it is the premier dealership for all John Deere equipment in Houston. Whether you're a homeowner, rancher, contractor, or institution, the Brookside team is there to provide you with the equipment solution and full service support you deserve. As far as the golf is concerned, their partners are Houston Country Club, Whispering Pines Golf Club, which is number one in Texas, and also includes Memorial Park Golf Course, which is home to the PGA Tour's Houston Open. And no matter your situation, Brookside has the deal you need. New or pre-owned equipment, parts, service, flexible payment plans, they have it all. Houston, Spring, Jersey Village, League City, Katy, Southwest Houston, Angleton, Hockley, and Conroe. Go see them at one of their 9 locations and visit their website at brooksideusa.com to check out any special deals at Brookside Equipment. Tell them you heard it here from Will Doctor on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 Houston. Once again, that is Brookside Equipment. All right, we head over to the Progressive Guest Line. Welcome in USA Today Golf Week's Managing Editor, Tim Schmidt. Tim, it's been too long, my friend. Always appreciate the time. Great to have you aboard with Jason and I this morning.
Good to talk to you guys. And speaking of Whispering Pines, when do I get back? The Meadler. That's a fun day.
Oh, and whenever you get time, Tim, I know I know you're a busy man. I mean, West Coast, you know, out on the East, but, you know, you were at Pebble Beach and Los Angeles Country Club doing some recon work. But, hey, whenever you're free, Tim, you give me a call. We'll get down there.
Tim, just good. Pick up the phone. We'll make it a threesome. We'll add a fourth. I want to watch you move at it, partner. Let's do it.
That sounds like a good time, fellas.
Tim, a lot to do on a Saturday morning. We'll get to a little PGA Championship and, of course, a men and women's U.S. Open preview as you were at LACC and Pebble Beach last week. But let's start with LIV Tucson as we have the great Jason Alexander with us live from Cedar Ridge. You know, I made an argument last segment that LIV Golf hasn't had their big stars win this year, with the exception of Brooks Koepka winning the week prior to the Masters in Orlando. You know, Phil contending at Augusta, always also a big storyline that we can't sleep on. But you look at the PGA Tour, with the exception of Kitayama at Bay Hill and Wyndham Clark at Quail, stories that, you know, you and I both are just obsessed with, but not all that appealing to the average fan, with the exception of Bay Hill and Wells Fargo. You've had a major star win on the PGA Tour almost weekly. What are your thoughts on the comparison between the two tours this year?
It's been so interesting because, yeah, LIV Golf needed that leaderboard that they had a few weeks back, and it definitely was a shot in the arm for the product. That's the problem, is that the hype around the circuit has been something, but the actual product hasn't been that great. You know, what's interesting to me is seeing kind of how these guys round into shape coming into a major. So obviously Brooks played so well at the Masters, you know, fell off on Sunday, but really had just such a nice showing. But when you look at the odds for the PGA Championship, I mean, you've got Tiger Rory and Rahm and Scheffler at the top. But right after that, you've got a whole second level of folks, all with LIV, Brooks and DJ and others who, you know, should contend, to Cam Smith in this second major. If one of them breaks through, I mean, we said this with Brooks at the Masters, boy, that changes the whole discussion a little bit and evens the playing field a little bit. It makes it almost appealing to start watching if you're not a LIV Golf fan. So, yeah, I've said this to you before, Will. I'm not a hater. I'm not a lover. I'm a golf guy. It's my job to report on things, not to play favorites as a journalist. But, boy, the whole conversation gets more interesting as these guys start to make their case in the majors consistently, and we'll see if they can do that again in Rochester.
I totally agree, Pro. And, you know, I think that they're going to have to get their momentum through the majors. And I couldn't agree with you more with your take on that. But if Phil could have come from behind and won at the Masters, if Cam Smith wins at the PGA, I think that just makes the LIV Tour more applicable for people to go, hang on a sec, I want to watch this good dude play. I want to watch this cat play more golf. And I think they'll tune in. But I think they're going to have to garner that through the major championships.
And if you look at, like, let's say Phil, I mean, what Phil did a couple of years ago at the PGA Championship was amazing, but it's not sustainable, right? I mean, that was a flash in the pan, a wonderful thing to see an aging superstar have one more day in the sun. But Cam Smith, the guy, Brooks Koepka, those are the guys that have to carry this league. They have to make
but Cam
it viable.
Cam hadn't done anything, and that's what's been jarring to me. If Cam goes over to LIV as arguably the hottest golfer we've seen over the last 4 years after winning the British Open, if he goes to LIV and wins everything, I think that's compelling. I think the storylines are there. But he goes over to live, and he's averaging probably finishing around 15th to 18th. He's been inconsequential. And I think that's hurt his brand and the live brand for that level of superstar to go over there and kind of go, it looks like he took the money and ran.
Hey, speaking of guys who could make an impact, I'm not a betting man, but if you are, there's a lot of value in Taylor Gooch this week, who's down, or for next week, excuse me. I see him down around 8,000. Yeah, I mean, Taylor Gooch, who's been as hot as anybody on the planet when it comes to playing golf over the last month or two.
It looks too good to be true. And, Will, I know we're going to pop into a few odds here in just a bit, but I couldn't agree with you more. You go through the odds there, and Taylor is way down the list. And you go, time out a second. This guy's arguably the hottest golfer on the planet.
Right, exactly. I agree.
Well, you know, listen, we could spend an entire show, you know, diving into, you know, Liv and how the season's been, Liv versus PGA Tour. Tim, you've had a huge last 2 weeks. I want to get to everything regarding the men's U.S. Open and the women's U.S. Open. Let's start with number one in the men's U.S. Open at Los Angeles Country Club. You know, this is the first time it's going to host the U.S. Open. It held, you know, what, five Los Angeles Opens from 1926 to 1940. But this is the first look that the public's going to get to this golf course. I've heard that, you know, this is a little bit of a different U.S. Open feel. What were your thoughts on your visit there?
Yeah, it just has a different feel. That's exactly, you know, I tried to put my finger on it, and I'm not sure what it is. It's got an interesting design to it, but yet back in 2010, Gil Hance refurbished it, or whatever the appropriate word is. So I think it wasn't a renovation. It was a refurbishing. It just has a old school feel to it for certain. The fact that it's got as many elevation changes right in downtown Los Angeles makes it fascinating. And there's some times where you feel like you're a world away from anybody. And yet, you know, then you pop over a hill and there's Lionel Richie's house, or there's the Playboy Mansion is on the backside of, you know, wow. Backs up to one of the holes. It's a really peculiar feel, but yeah, just a really interesting golf course. I will say this, you know, the yardage doesn't overwhelm you. When you look at things like the new Frisco course, the new Hance course up at Frisco, I mean, the numbers just pop off the sheet. I think the first two holes are 660 and 590 or something Wow. like this. It's not that kind of course, but yet it plays long. And so I think that the guys who really hit it, the Rahms and Schefflers of the world, are going to be definitely an advantage at LACC. But just a beautiful, you know, the PGA Tour loves good golf courses and then, of course, great places to play as well. So I always say that's what kills me about Austin losing the Dell Match Play. It's not necessarily just Austin Country Club and just the fact that we have it here, but that picturesque view with the Pennybacker Bridge in the background and the river running through. I'll tell you what, the USGA has a winner here because the shots they will have of the Los Angeles skyline in the background behind this golf course are going to be really breathtaking, and it's a damn good golf course. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Tim, if you had to point out the teeth of that golf course, you know, normal U.S. Open, I think of Oakmont where, you know, the fairways are 15 yards wide with just rough that you can't get out of. What's going to be the teeth of Los Angeles Country Club? If I had to pick a player, what would be the strength that I'm looking for out there?
So it's interesting. Shaping the ball and making sure that you're on the right side of the fairways. It's not just the fairways because, unlike most U.S. Opens, these are wide fairways. However, because of the elevation, if you don't play the right shot into these and you get your ball on the side of a hill or it comes down off of a hill, which will happen consistently throughout the day, you find yourself in a lot of trouble. I look at a guy who can do a lot of things with the golf ball. Max Homa is a good example. And by the way, Max Homa played extremely well in both of the tournaments in California earlier this year. He won one and I think came in second in the other one that he played. A guy like that who can maneuver his ball around that golf course, because the fairways are wide, much wider than most U.S. Opens, but you need to be on the right side of the fairway or that thing's going to get in a spot that you don't want to be, and it's going to make things very interesting for you. Conversely, where the PGA Championship next week at Oak Hill, those are fairways you need to hit, and you just need to get in the fairway. It's going to be a much tighter fairway, but you don't need to necessarily pick your spot. Get in the fairway, and you'll be in good position. But it's where you'll be at LACC, which will be more interesting.
Unbelievable. Yeah, Max Homa, great pick there. You know, won Fortinet, won the Farmers Insurance. Incredible insight on Los Angeles Country Club. Tim, if you have a moment, can you hold tight? Can we come back to you after break and talk about Pebble Beach for the Women's Open? All right, we'll get to Tim Schmidt right after break here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. It's been by Insperity HR that makes difference. Back after this.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, back on with the great Tim Schmidt from USA Today's Golf Week. We discussed his visit to Los Angeles Country Club, which will host the U.S. Open right after the PGA Championship, and that will be followed by the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool. Tim, you also took a visit to Pebble Beach for their media day for the Women's U.S. Open. We have not seen a USGA women's event there since the 1948 U.S. Amateur. But what's the feeling out there? What's the vibe among the players on the LPGA Tour? What's the excitement like to get back to Pebble Beach for the women?
Well, I mean, everything you need to know is in the fact that Michelle Wee West is ending her career, but putting everything on hold just to play in this golf tournament. And by the way, came out to Pebble Beach Media Day, which is no easy task to get to, as many folks know, just to be a part of this and to be around it. And Michelle Wee West is, even though, you know, she's only won the one single major, she's recognizably one of the biggest names in the game. And the fact that she wanted to be there and knows what a big deal this is, I think says a real lot about this. The fact that the USGA, you know, I'm going to name drop for just a second, Will. I've played with two important people in this world, Will Doctor at the Whispering Pines golf course, and then Mike Wan, with whom I've played twice, once at Torrey Pines 2 years ago, and then this year at Pebble Beach.
Wow.
And when I played with Mike at Torrey Pines, he had just taken over at the USGA, and I said, well, you know, what's the biggest challenge for you? I had noticed at the time that, you know, with Bethpage and a couple of the other municipal courses off the rotation, I said, is that important for you to get those municipal courses and courses that are accessible like that to the public back in the USGA, you know, in the rotation? And he said, no, not really. He's like, I need to get the players to feel like the place they won is the most special place on earth. And I thought that was kind of telling, because that's exactly what he's done 2 years later. And you can see it as much as ever on the women's side. I mean, the women's majors, especially the U.S. Open, are starting to pick bigger, more recognizable names. And having four events at Pebble Beach coming up over the next, whatever it is, 18 years, is really telling. I mean, this is where people want to play. And the women that were at, you know, the players that were at this event last week were just, you know, beside themselves with the fact that they had a chance to compete for a U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. I will tell you that the day that we played, it was brutally windy. A storm came in off the ocean. It was so difficult. And for a hacker like myself, it made for a long, long day. But you could just see the twinkle in all of their eyes, the fact that they're going to get a chance to play for that trophy on that stage. It's a really special thing, and even the biggest players in the game know it.
Tim, real quick, I think you said it best. LPGA, always looking for ratings, always looking for eyeballs, and to have these big events. I loved when they played at Olympic Club a couple of years ago. I watched that whole event. I'd played there, and we watched some of the icons of the game play there as well on the men's side. So you can never have a bad event at Pebble Beach, but I couldn't agree more. I think we'll have a ton of viewers for the second LPGA major of the season out there at Pebble.
And Jason, I mean, you know, you were at Carlton Woods for the first women's major of the year at the CW Nicholas course right down the street from us. I mean, what a great event. You know, obviously, going into the final round, you had Nelly Korda right at the top of the leaderboard. Obviously, Lillian Vu and Angel Yin, it came down to the wire. Two great underdog stories. You know, I think Angel and Lillian, they had maybe two top 20s combined on the LPGA Tour and were battling out for a major championship?
Yeah, but Lilia is in for the duration now. I mean, she was one of the most decorated amateur players of all time, had just fallen off the map. And since the last, I don't know, 6 months or 4 months or so, she's been one of the hottest players on the planet. So don't be surprised if she's in the mix at the U.S. Open. And I will tell you this, guys, what made that event so successful, and I miss you, Will. I was down there Thursday and Friday, but not Saturday. But what made that so successful was the timing of things. It was kind of in a dead spot in the calendar, you know, made for a perfect time. Previously, when the event was out in California at the Dinah Shore course, of course, but it was going against the Augusta National Women's Amateur. A lot of the numbers fell off the map, but this was in a sweet spot in the schedule, and there was a ton of television coverage for the Chevron, which made it really successful down the stretch, and the U.S. Women's Open is going to do the same. It's on July 4th weekend. There's not a ton of sports going on. There's going to be a lot of television coverage. And by the way, since it's on the West Coast, it'll be in the evening. You can come home and have your dinner, watch the golf. I have a feeling this is going to be really successful when a tournament when it comes to TV numbers, as long as they get a decent leaderboard come Sunday.
West Coast golf is the best. It is the best golf, hands down, Tim.
Once again, we have managing editor of Golf Week, Tim Schmidt, on the line. Tim, once again, thanks for your time today. I've got one more question for you. You know, the great Adam Shupak reported yesterday that AT&T will look to get out of their deal with the Byron Nelson. Tim, do you think that is course-related, or is this because of the lack of field strength that the Byron has attracted over the last several years in the slot of the week before the PGA?
Interesting you asked me that. I just was talking with someone recently about the fact that obviously Jim Crane in Houston, a lot of money, making quite a splash, hoping to move back into the spring schedule. If Jim Crane finds a way to make the Houston Open an elevated event, and there is an old school Texas swing with Colonial and San Antonio and the Byron Nelson, then they would have to pick another tournament to be the other elevated event. I'm not saying this is happening, it's just speculation. But it wouldn't surprise me. And my thought was, well, will it be Colonial or will it be the Byron Nelson? I think we got our answer yesterday in the fact that AT&T is looking to drop out, because an elevated event is something you'd want to be tied to. So again, this is all speculation. I have absolutely no inside knowledge, but if you're looking at this and piecing things together, it makes sense that that's an event that's going to continue to kind of wane. Yes, the golf course isn't fantastic, I'll be honest. And don't be surprised if they do go back to an old Texas swing to see Houston and Fort Worth as the two elevated events.
Wow, Tim, that's incredible insight. You know, I think final thing, you know, that's an obvious, you know, as far as picking an elevated event, Colonial versus the current host in Craig Ranch. It'd be one thing if this was back at TPC Four Seasons at Las Colinas, which was just a phenomenal party and a phenomenal get-together every year in Dallas. You know, Craig Ranch is a good test. It hosts Q School, but it's surely not Colonial. It's surely not Colonial.
It doesn't even have close to
history, yeah.
It feels like it feels like a golf course with a neighborhood around it where Colonial feels like you're a part of history.
Well, Tim, I appreciate your time today. You know, always great to hear from you. Always great to get your insight. Looking forward to having you on again with Charlie and I here soon.
Great to talk to you guys.
We'll see you soon, Tim. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tim.
Once again, that is Tim Schmidt, the managing editor of Golf Week. Does an incredible job. Go check out all the stuff at golfweek.com. Him and Adam Shupak, what a job they do. Back on here with Jason Alexander. Jason, I mean, great little chat there with Tim Schmidt. We have an incredible major championship lineup ahead of us this year.
Oh, Will Doctor, I'm for the guys and gals. Let's get it on. I can't wait to watch all of them. And, you know, following up on what Tim said, who plays better golf in Los Angeles? When you talk about the U.S. Open, who plays better golf in Los Angeles or California area than Max Homa?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. All right, we got two quick things left to do here. Jason, number one is the PGA Championship picks. Obviously, we will not meet together again until next Saturday. The PGA Championship starts Thursday. Let's get our audience a couple picks moving into this week, whether it's for the Calcutta, whether it's for a five-man pool play. Personally, I'll start. I like Tony Finau at 25-1, Colin Morikawa at 30-1, Dustin Johnson at 35-1, and Cam Young at 35-1. Let me just say this. These are all ball strikers who show up on a week in, week out basis. They're slightly weaker on the putting. But you look at 10 years ago, Jason Duffner won the PGA at Oak Hill with the Yip. So I'm not too concerned. I want a ball striker next week. Go ahead.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think Morikawa, I got a little off call, and he was one of my picks at Quail Hollow last week and just had a disaster of a performance. Is he trendy? Overreaction, possibly. I think in general, yes. I think it's going to be a great iron player that is in contention that wins. And, you know, look, the big guns are just going to be there. Scheffler, Rahm, I'm not sold on Rory. But if you look kind of that second tier, Cam Young, on the tip of everybody's tongue, that is he going to break through Will Zalatoris? Of course. Tahith Tagala is kind of my sleeper here, Will, to top 10 and maybe make a run at this thing.
Quickly, you have 5 seconds. Who's your pick for the Byron Nelson to finish it off this week?
Scotty Scheffler. Run away, Scotty.
I'm taking Sam Stevens at 45-1, 5 back. We'll talk to you next week on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Thanks so much, Jason. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. See you next week.